this amazing Jackson Hole summer is tapering off. Hopefully the traffic will lessen and the parking will get easier. And soon the elk will start bugling. And in a few weeks, the cottonwoods and the aspens will give us their final blaze of gold. And many birds will migrate, and the deer and the pronghorn will migrate, and many people too. For some of you are enjoying your last weeks before going back to other places. Change is in the air. Well, one question I ask myself when preparing a sermon is, what if this is my last chance? What is there in these readings that will both connect to and support all the people in the pews with many differing life situations? And at the end of a season, especially, as at the end of life, our times and opportunities become precious and rare. So the words in today's gospel are strange. Indeed, so strange that many of Jesus' followers walked away. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Whoever eats me will live because of me. The one who eats this bread will live forever." And the disciples said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? It's so weird, too strange." I mean, those of us who are used to Holy Communion maybe translated a little bit, but imagine if you were there and heard him say this the first time. And many of the disciples turned back after hearing this teaching and no longer hung out with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Peter answered this beautiful response of faith, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." That is faith. Belief and faith are not quite the same. Belief has a content, is a noun. It has content. But faith is a verb. Faith is something that is fluid within us. Peter did not, with his mind, understand the strange teachings either. They hadn't had the Last Supper yet, according to this narrative. Yet he humbly believed what did not make sense, because they knew Jesus was the Holy One of God. They trusted Jesus. Now, as I just said, this story was written down by John way after the Last Supper took place. It's the last of the four Gospels, written probably 100 years after the birth of Jesus. And the practice of Holy Eucharist was probably already being celebrated in house churches. But in the narrative, the same takes place before the institution of the Last Supper. So this sequence should tell us that John's Gospel is not to be read or experienced like a newspaper article, although who can believe that today? or a scientific treatise. It's more like a poem, indeed like a liturgy. Faith more like than belief. This summer, a group of us, and some of you are here today, enjoyed 5 weeks of poetry as spiritual practice. We read together 3 or 4 poems each week, and we were told by a former poet laureate of the United States, Billy Collins, not to read the poems only for meaning, but for sounds and images, rhythms, and glimpses of humor and transcendence. We discovered that when we read a difficult poem, or not too difficult, but a poem in a group, and explored its textures together, we often experienced the poem as a communal spiritual practice. We opened up the sentences and verses and delved into a deeper level. Similarly, when we read the strange words of John's Gospel in community and in the presence and power of the Spirit, we see that the grand is somewhat shrouded in clouds today. But we can experience faith anyway. We know it's there, even though we don't see it or we don't have a proof right now. It's faith. So when we hear these strange words, it throws us back to our faith. And not necessarily of those specific words. But faith means is a attitude of believing everything. Everything you've ever heard in the scriptures. Faith, on the other hand, doesn't need any content whatsoever, according to Paul Tillich. Faith is something that has no specific verbal content. It's what caused Peter to say, "Where else could we go?" Sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes I have faith like that, with no content. Some human wounds, some human sorrows are so much deeper than reason or words or explanations. So we must delve deeper to faith without content, which we sometimes find in poetry and we find in the Gospel of John. Poet Wendell Berry, he's also a farmer, wrote a wonderful small book called Life is Miracle. And he's speaking to the scientific community, whom he respects and admires. But some of the scientific community these days is saying that, life isn't a miracle. Life is just an algorithm. I don't think so. Wendell Berry asks this question, which is very similar to the one of faith. Is there such a thing as unexplainable knowledge? In other words, are there things that we absolutely know that we can't explain? Now, in the realm of science, the answer is no. To say that you know in the realm of science, you mean that you have data and proof. But Wendell Berry writes, there are other realms. We have more knowledge than we can say. We have wounds that are not verbally expressible. And that's why we have these liturgies, which have lasted thousands of years, because it connects us to that. I often think, when I come here, to the Chapel of Transfiguration, that truthfully, we don't need to say anything. We could have faith just coming here and looking around us. We know that we are in God's presence. And we act that out when we come forward for the Holy Communion. That's what connects us to today's lessons. Mary Oliver, another poet, wrote, "Poetry, and we can add, and liturgy, is as necessary as bread in the pockets of the hungry." We need that deeper level, which is mysterious, and we can't always explain it, but we keep reading it every year, every Sunday. This unexplainable knowledge, this faith, is fluid. We feel it when we're here together singing and praying together, and we can say these things which we can't explain, but sometimes that knowledge, that faith, fades away. Think of Peter, who was so sure in today's story, gave such a beautiful testimony, "Lord, where else could we go?" But when he became afraid, and Jesus was crucified, he denied Jesus three times. But it came back, because Peter was the one who led the church ultimately to become the great church that it is. And unlikely as it seems, there are moments when we can believe everything. Even this, that this eternal, powerful, creative intelligence, who is at the moment clouded in a little bit, who made the starry skies, the planets, the mountains, the color purple, the hummingbird, the wildflowers, and the wonders of microbiology, also cares about every one of us. This power is so great that it's able to do that. Each individual here is loved and cared for and known by God. God knows your problems. God knows your sorrows. God knows your doubts. And that this great intelligence also has feelings. Oh, they're not human feelings. They're beyond human feelings. But It's mostly love and cares what we think about and what we do. And it's noble to us in part. That's why we get together and read these scriptures and try to understand them and delve deeper below the surface. Jesus called that intelligence Father. The Lakota tribe call that mystery the moving mystery, the mystery of faith. Peter felt it when he said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God." And in this place today, in this beauty, even this little clouded beauty, this clean air, let us try to embrace and believe everything. The presence of the living God, how much God cares for us, how much God knows our problems and is dealing with them in God's own time. And even for a moment, even it's just when you receive the bread and the wine, faith is good for us. Faith is like bread in our pockets. Faith heals us. Faith sustains us. Faith empowers us to be the church together. We need each other, all with different skills and different talents to get along with each other. And so we thank you, God, in this place and this day for this beautiful chapel, for your beautiful world, and for all your care for us, which we believe. Thank you for faith. Keep us in your faith. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Please stand and join me in reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father,
the Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us.